Been hearing over the last couple weeks, and perhaps you could say especially over the last few months, as we've been focusing more on our Go Make Disciples initiative, about this mission that each of us have in the world, emphasizing that call to mission. Unfortunately, I don't always get, and when people are walking out, like, yes, I'm ready for this. I can't read souls, but I get the general sense that there are quite a few of us that think about that mission. Oh, that's great, that's beautiful. And then as soon as we think about me doing it, we retreat into fear. Now, why is that? First thought that might pop to someone's mind is a lack of faith. And perhaps for some of us, we need to pray for more faith. But maybe that's not it for most of us. Maybe that resistance comes from somewhere else. So today I want to talk about, as I talked about last week, how we're sent into the world to be instruments of healing in Christ. I want to talk about that we need to be healed in order to be instruments of healing in our world. So imagine this man that we heard about in Jesus' parable, healed through the kindness of this Samaritan. Would he not be bold enough, because he has received this great extraordinary act of charity, to tell others about his experience? Certainly he would, right? So we want to have that kind of healing encounter with Jesus to help us to be bold enough to share with him. The reality is that Jesus desires to heal us. And that desire goes way beyond what we would normally think about, like our physical ailments that we like to pray about ourselves and others, right? Jesus, heal us. Those are, our wounds are more, are broader than our, just our physical ailments. We all experience disintegration on account of the fall from grace. Things aren't right. They're not in order. They're not lined up within us. Right? Our relationship with God, it's not what it ought to be. Something is gone wrong and made it difficult. Our relationship with others, right? We find it difficult to love as we ought. Our relationship with ourselves, there's also a lack of integration in each of our hearts. And our relationship with God's creation, right? All of these things have been wounded. Now, Christ has come, we heard from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, that through him, he would reconcile all things. Okay? He wants to bring all of God's creation back into right relationship, back into harmony. So we talk a lot about those first two relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with others, as we should, right? As we heard, Jesus affirms, this is the great commandment, love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor. But remember that it says, the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So having a healthy relationship with our own selves is essential for us to be free to love our neighbor as we ought. So Jesus desires to bring this wholeness, this integration, this union, we could call it maybe a reunion or a reconciliation in our hearts. So I want to look at how this kind of, how Jesus desires for it to be for us gets disrupted by the reality of sin, and just kind of look at it through a simple framework so that we can prepare ourselves for the healing that Jesus desires to give us. Now, I will be honest, as I typically am, I'm stealing all of this from a book called Be Healed, it's a very creative title, by Dr. Bob Schutz. Okay, wonderful, beautiful book, highly recommend it. So the image, the framework is that of a tree. Okay, we know there's healthy trees, there's unhealthy trees. right? A good, healthy tree bears good fruit. We'll call the fruit virtue, okay? But the unhealthy tree bears rotten fruit. We'll call those rotten fruits sin. Okay? Scripture talks about a good, healthy tree. You know, it's the very first psalm, a tree that's planted by the streams of water that bears fruit in due season, right? This tree is healthy, and because it's healthy, the goodness comes from it, right? On the other hand, we know that there are rotten fruits, right? And trees that are sick. Now, every time we go to confession, we're taking the rotten fruit and saying, okay, Lord, deal with this. And He is certainly happy to do that. He is happy to forgive us of these sins, right? Now, do we want to get rid of just one or two of the rotten fruits? No, we want to get rid of all of them. So we take them all, we bring them all to the Lord. He forgives us. But what happens? A week later, a month later, new fruit comes out of the same tree. What kind of fruits are going to be? Well, it's the same fruit because nothing else, we didn't allow anything else to be changed. Okay, so we could call the deadly sins, right, kind of these core sins as part of this unhealthy tree. They will produce fruits of sin, but they're something more like the trunk of the tree, right? Even if we got rid of all the nasty fruits, we know that they're just going to bear more. Alright, so I'll give you an example. Gluttony is one of the deadly sins, right? In each of the deadly sins, the object of our attention is something other than God. We're idolizing something. We have a misguided love. Okay, so in gluttony, the object could be food, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, right? So this is the deadly sin, the trunk of the tree, that bears fruits in external behaviors, which perhaps are obvious, drunkenness, overeating, neglect of our physical well-being. Okay? So even if, you know, we go to confession for those things, if we don't deal with something more, if we don't have the tree healed, we're just going to go back to the same things. More difficult example, the deadly sin of anger. That's an idolatry, this desire for control, a desire for power, we could say. It manifests itself in fruits, external behaviors, right? Maybe yelling, verbal abuse, violence, seeking revenge. It also has hidden fruits, doesn't it? Anger that we don't necessarily show, right? Judgment, bitterness, resentment in our hearts. Okay? And even if we say, we go to confession and say, you know, I yelled at my kids, right? And then 2 weeks later, same thing. Why? Where does this anger come from? Where does this desire for power and control come from? Well, Dr. Bob Schutz points us to this, that starting at a very young age, we instinctively pull our hearts away from God, especially when we're threatened by traumas. So our hearts are built to love God and to worship Him, but we pull away from Him and fix our desire on something else, especially when we're threatened by traumas. When this happens, evil and sin can gain a foothold in our lives. That foothold can become a stronghold. Okay? So it's like a seed that falls into the ground. Instead of it being taken away right away, it takes root, deep roots. And, you know, even when we try, you know, to take it out, if we don't take it out by the roots, that's just going to continue to come back. So each of these deadly sins has a root, Okay, so we know the fruits of the tree are our sins. We see those. We experience them. They're rotten. The deadly sin is kind of like the trunk of the tree. But there's something feeding that, the root system. And in one sense, all the deadly sins have the same root. That's the one that led to the fall of Adam and Eve, the rejection of God, right? And instead choosing self-reliance rather than relying on God, right? So in a sense, all of the deadly sins have the same root. But these roots can often be described by way of seven kinds of core wounds. Okay, so the root of these sins in our life is these wounds. Okay, so what are these wounds and where do they come from? There's two kinds of wounds. The first one is wounds that are afflicted upon us. Right? Wounds that are afflicted upon us. Hurts that we have received make us likely to run to these sins. We don't have to. We have the opportunity to run to God. But because of our weakness and our concupiscence, it's likely that we turn to sin. Okay? So it's one of the sources of our woundedness. Right? Things that have been afflicted upon us. The second source of our woundedness is our own sins. Our own choice to sin causes and perpetuates these wounds or makes them worse, makes them more deeply rooted. So let me give you an example of the first, a simple example. Your first real good friend, say it was in middle school, and you had something that you were ashamed about, and you confided in this friend. And then this friend goes and tells everyone the thing that you confided in. You're completely embarrassed, right? For a middle schooler, this is a traumatic experience. For us, it'd probably be a traumatic experience too, right? So from this wound, right, these beliefs can be formed around them. This young child might start to believe that, well, people can't be trusted. Or they might believe that my inner feelings are a source of derision. If others find out about them, I can never divulge them. And then they might make a vow to themselves, an agreement with themselves. I will never be vulnerable with a friend again. Right, so this wound kind of gets covered by these beliefs and their lies, their false, and these agreements that we have made. Okay? So then from this woundedness, this betrayal of confidence, this whole structure can be formed that leads us to perpetual sin, that leads the tree to bear these rotten fruits. And we don't want them, right? We know we want the good fruits, but we don't know how to change them. Okay, let's look at this parable then for a moment. We have this man who has been beaten and robbed, stripped of his dignity, physically wounded. But then add to that, he was ignored and devalued by the priest and the Levite passing by. What thoughts might he have? Well, the priest and the Levite didn't stop because they didn't want to be ritually unclean by touching his blood. So he might think, well, I'm unclean. He might think, I'm not worthy of other people's attention. He might think, because he worked hard for all the things that he had, that anything that I work for and earn, it's going to be taken from me anyway, so what does it matter? He might think, no one cares. Right? Any of these thoughts could take root in his heart and lead to a deep interior wound. I'll talk about the wounds next week, but one of those wounds is the wound of abandonment. So no one cares, right? deep in his heart, he has an abandonment wound. No one cares, so I'm never going to rely on anyone for help again. And we can just imagine how this might set someone up in their life for a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, a lot of lack of being able to receive love. It's the deadly sin of pride that comes from that wound, and it could manifest itself in hundreds of different ways. Even stubbornly rejecting help when it does come along. Okay? So our wounds can be inflicted upon us. So friends, we're all wounded, and Jesus is a healer, and he wants to heal us. He wants to make us whole again. He wants, from the root on up, to transform us, to make us whole again, so that we can bear the good fruit. So take note of what happens to this man. Something foreign, something unexpected, let's call it grace, comes alongside him in his woundedness. Listen, it says, he approached the victim, the Samaritan. So he draws close. And then he tends to the wound as if attending to a sacred duty. He pours oil and wine on the wounds. He bandages them up. And then he lifts the wounded man up and carries him and places him in a sanctuary of healing. It's like, why all this detail, right? It's showing us that the healing is a process. Okay. And so it will be for us when we allow Jesus, who is this unexpected outsider that draws near to us, comes alongside us. It's going to be a process of healing to allow him to make us whole again. And then he promises that he is going to return to ensure that this healing continues to progress. Okay, so there's a lot more to come. In upcoming weeks, we'll continue on these themes, but my prayer for us is that as we discover in the areas of our woundedness and the lies that surround them, that we would call out to Jesus for help. That he would help us, that he would heal us, that he would lead us through this process of becoming whole in him. Jesus told this parable to show his own heart for us, that he recognizes our wounds, and he wants to be with us, to lead us to healing.